It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Doors by Golden Bridge.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
...2020 has claimed its latest victim as Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey steps down from his position and will no longer be a part of the Rockets organization moving forward after 13 years of excellence in the role. What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. Today's show is going to be, this is tough. It's interesting to think about the reasons for why this happened, where this organization goes moving forward from this decision. But I think the most important thing to highlight right out of the gate is I don't think Daryl Morey was forced out. That's the important thing, right? Is because everybody wants to probably point fingers at Tillman Fertitta. And I'm not defending Tillman Fertitta by any stretch of the imagination, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. But I don't think that Daryl was explicitly forced out. I don't think there was, discussions behind closed doors about, hey, you got to go, whatever. I don't think that was the case. He is a top five, you could make an argument for top three general manager in the league. He has kept the Rockets with a winning record throughout his entire tenure. 13 years as the Rockets general manager, not a single losing record from any of those 13 seasons. Not only that, he brought in James Harden, the franchise cornerstone. He was, he was spearheading the analytics movement. And, obviously there's some Daryl Morey naysayers who think it went a little bit too far with the small ball situation this past season. And, you can argue that if you want. That's perfectly fine. I'm still kind of 50-50 in the middle. Was small ball the right move? I think it was the right move to maximize Russell Westbrook. Absolutely. But when you look at what he's done and what he's accomplished, he has absolutely been, it's been 13 years of excellence from Daryl Morey. And so to have him leave, this franchise will be worse off without Daryl Morey. Absolutely. So, but I do think it was his decision. And I think if you look at what all has transpired over the course of the last year, specifically with the China situation and everything that has unfolded since those events has to have been very hard on Daryl Morey. Him specifically, and probably his family, just dealing with the fallout from that situation. Yes, the NBA came out and, defended free speech and stood behind him, but there were people, you look at LeBron James and Steve Kerr and many other people from around the NBA who made targeted attacks towards Daryl Morey at his expense about the China situation and have yet to publicly apologize for it, have yet to come out and say, we're sorry, so that situation in and of itself was probably a big reason for his decision to kind of maybe move away from the spotlight a little bit. There's no news yet as to whether he's moving away and is going to be entertaining offers from other teams, but he had an extension on the table. He had many years left on his contract, so it's hard for me to imagine that he would have been forced out, because that would mean that Tillman Fertitta would have to bite the bullet on the remainder of that contract. And Daryl Morey is not a cheap general manager. So that's an expensive contract that he is willingly walking away from. And it has to be his own choice. It's not anything else. Now, I think there's a lot of extenuating circumstances and a lot of factors that probably went into that choice. Probably some disagreements with ownership and how he's been, especially this past year, has been micromanaged. And again, we can point to so many different situations, so many different things. You can point to the Russell Westbrook trade and how that was commandeered at the last moment and he was forced to hand over a treasure trove of draft picks. You can look at all the seasons that the Rockets have spent ducking the luxury tax line. And, you know, Daryl Morey has come out on the record multiple times to say, we're not exclusively trying to dodge the tax line. We're not, you know, I have the right to spend the money. But he never got that chance, right? He never got to actually do it. And so until this organization actually ponies up and is willing to spend past the tax line, I won't believe it until I see it. And many other people are in that same boat. You listening are probably in that same boat right now, where until we see the organization willing to spend past the tax line, willing to spend to put a true competitor, a true championship contender on the court, then it's hard to believe it. And so it's easier to sit here and think, and it's very obvious to a lot of people that Daryl Morey was probably, he probably had his hands tied situationally as the general manager. And then after the Russ trade, not having assets to continue to improve the roster, having to, again, this past season, duck below the tax line. Granted, that was as part of the Clint Capella, Robert Covington deal, but, you know, shipping out Nene's contract, shipping out Gerald Green just to dodge the tax line again, the optics just don't look good for the organization. And the situation with Mike D'Antoni as the head coach and him butting heads with Tillman Fertitta last summer and then not being able to come to a contract agreement this summer, the fact that Mike D'Antoni came to Daryl Morey and said, hey, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to be here and I'm moving on. And the fact that blindsided Daryl Morey, I think Morey very much so wanted to bring Mike D'Antoni back. I think Morey was expecting to have the opportunity at the end of this season to sit down with Mike to hammer out a new contract and to find a middle ground where both parties were happy, because at the end of the day, having a superstar and having a general manager and having a coach who are that aligned philosophically in how they want to play is very, very, very rare. So I think that Morey was taken aback by the fact that MDA wanted to leave, and I think that MDA and his issues with ownership and how, you know, the contract situation played out the summer prior absolutely played a factor into his decision to leave an otherwise perfect scenario for him, right? The Rockets are a MDA team through and through. And for him to be willing to walk away from that situation when the Rockets would have likely offered him a fresh contract and brought him back, it seemed like all signs point towards that was the goal by Daryl Morey, at least, to bring Mike D'Antoni back. The fact that he's gone and the fact that he walked out was probably really the first domino to fall and probably played a role in Daryl Morey's decision. So we'll keep talking about this, and I want to get into some of the reasons behind it, some of the other dominoes that have fallen, what we can expect moving forward because of this. And we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. They always offer the lowest possible prices rather than changing their prices around based on what the market will bear, kind of like what airlines do. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you're feeling some kind of way about Daryl Morey leaving the organization, 713-487-5457, call in, drop us a line, let us know how you feel. If it's a good take, if it's exciting, if it's if you can feel the emotion in what has transpired, then maybe you'll make it to the show. But I spoke a little bit about Mike D'Antoni leaving, and that probably being the—I called it the first domino originally, but I think maybe that was the last domino, right before Daryl kind of was able to come to the conclusion that he didn't want to be a part of this organization anymore. And I do think that this coaching search has probably been that issue. Is you look at some of the candidates, and there's candidates, and I've spoken about this before. There's candidates that are clearly Tillman Fertitta candidates, and then there's candidates that are clearly Daryl Morey candidates. You know, Steven Silas, Wes Unseld. I struggle saying his name. It's my dyslexia acting up. But legitimately, there's Morey candidates, and then there's Fertitta candidates. And it sounds like the Fertitta candidates are the ones that are being moved forward with, or that are being pushed through excessively right now, as both Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy have secondary interviews with the Houston Rockets. So it sounds like that the future of the Rockets organization is going to be in the hands of one of either Jeff Van Gundy or Ty Lue. And I'm not like vehemently opposed to either of those candidates. I do think that, again, you have to bring in a big name coach, somebody who has previous experience managing superstars, somebody with a track record of success. And I think Ty Lue fits that bill a little bit more than JVG does. But segmenting off of the Daryl Morey thing for just a moment, just to provide a little bit of context about Jeff Van Gundy and his previous tenure here in Houston, because a lot of people wanted to bring up the fact that JVG never had a playoff win here with the Rockets. Well, first off, he dealt with a pair of injury-prone superstars and never really, he only had them really for one entire healthy full season, and that was the 2004-2005 season. And that season, they went up two games to zip against the Dallas Mavericks, and they were looking poised to take that series and to move on to the next round until Mark Cuban came out and publicly just put the refs on blast about how Yao Ming was being officiated, and then, boom, the rest of the series goes the Mavericks' way. And the reffing in that series was just completely one-sided after that. And I'm not trying to just be, it's not, woe is me, this is Houston sports, it's always the referee conspiracy. No, you can go back and look at that series, and Yao Ming was reffed completely differently than he was in the first two games for the rest of the series. And so that series was kind of derailed by that. The previous year, so Jeff Van Gundy's first year, he didn't have Tracy McGrady yet. He was still rocking with Steve Francis. And they went up against the Kobe Shaq Lakers in the first round. They're not supposed to win that series. The following year, 2005-2006, T-Mac and Yao were both injured. And that's what led to the Rockets having a lottery pick that they then turned into Rudy Gay and then traded for Shane Battier. And so then you have the 2007-2008 season, where Shane Battier's first year here in Houston, you've got kind of this sort of a big three in Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming, and Shane Battier. Yao only played half that season, went down to another injury. He was available for the playoffs, sure, but they also matched up with the Utah Jazz. And the Utah Jazz were never a good matchup for the Rockets, those late 2000s Utah Jazz teams, because they had Carlos Boozer and Mehmet Okur. And Okur was always a matchup nightmare for the Rockets because you couldn't put Yao Ming all the way out on the three-point line to guard Okur. So Yao had to guard Carlos Boozer. And by having to guard Carlos Boozer, that's a mismatch all day for Carlos Boozer. He averaged 25-11 in that series in 2008. So just a little bit of context behind what happened during JVG's first tenure with the Rockets. And then, hey, look, it's not just a JVG thing, right? The whole Utah Jazz situation, because guess what? The very next year with Adelman, they also lost to the Jazz. Again, granted, they did it that year without Yao Ming, but still, they lost to the Jazz again the next year. So it's not like it's a, you know, it was just a matchup issue more than anything. The Jazz had the Rockets number during that series, during those back-to-back series, just like the Rockets had the Jazz's number earlier, a couple seasons prior. You know, bouncing them from the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. So I just wanted to provide a little bit of that context as far as JVG goes, because I do think that he made the most of what he could with those Rockets rosters during his first stint here in Houston. Because let's face it, past T-Mac and Yao, who again were very injury-prone superstars, he did not have a lot of talent to work with on those rosters. Those rosters were very bare as far as, you know, playable rotation and depth. And you look at this current Rockets roster, and it would blow any of those previous four rosters, four seasons, out of the water as far as talent goes, just from a sheer talent perspective. So I think that JVG, if he were to get the nod, would have his best chance, his best roster as a Houston head coach. And then Ty Lue, same thing. Has had experience dealing with superstars, playing alongside superstars, coaching superstars, has a championship title with the Cavaliers. You know, he fits the bill. But those are not Daryl Morey guys. Those are not guys that I think Daryl Morey would have wanted to be the head coach of the team. And I think that there are so many different signs to point towards the fact that ownership and Daryl Morey were not seeing eye to eye. And rather than continuing to be hamstrung by an ownership that isn't willing to pay into the luxury tax, that is forceful in trade negotiations and is overspending for certain players in the Russell Westbrook trade specifically by jumping in last minute and overriding the trade and just, you know, making it happen, finding that 5%, right? Those are the issues that I'm sure Daryl's looking at and thinking, you know what, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this crap. You know, there's no reason for me to have to deal with this. You know, Daryl is a coveted GM, and if he wants another position, he'll find it elsewhere. And there's so many other, there are dozens of NBA teams out there. I say dozens. Yeah, we'll go with that. I bet about half the league would love to hire Daryl Morey as their general manager. So whether he decides to find another position or whether he just takes some time out of the limelight remains to be seen. But it's going to be tough for the Rockets, and that's going to be this final segment. It's going to be, we're going to talk about what the future of this franchise looks like without Daryl Morey, and we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. If you've never found a protein bar brand that you can really get behind, that you enjoy eating, it's time for you to check out Built Bar. They've got so many delicious, amazing flavors, carrot cake, cookies and cream, salted caramel, banana bread, peanut butter, double chocolate mousse. The list goes on and on. It's amazing. And the best part is, these protein bars are not like traditional protein bars. They're basically a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. They're soft. They're easy to chew. The bars are covered in 100% delicious chocolate. They're great for the health-conscious person, whether you're just trying to, you know, if you're trying to lose weight or just maintain weight, kind of stay where you're at. They're amazing. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing for a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for all things Houston Rockets basketball. And this is tough because it's tough to watch the team that you cover or that you care about, that you're passionate about, slowly fall apart and come apart at the seams, right? And it started slowly, right? And you can trace it all the way back to the 2017-2018 season, coming up just a hamstring away from the title, and then not making the necessary moves that summer to bring back a true blue contender. Letting Trevor Ariza walk, trying to bring in James Ennis and Carmelo Anthony, trying to make that situation work, right? Then you can just, there's so many different things that you can trace back to these minor decisions being made here and there. The inability to come to terms with an agreement for Mike D'Antoni's contract extension after he proved that he was, you know, at least a Western Conference Finals caliber coach, you know, getting the team to the Western Conference Finals and pushing one of the greatest teams of all time to seven games, can't net a contract extension, and constantly using draft picks to offload contracts and to move players around to duck the luxury tax. And then again, the Russell Westbrook trade and overruling what I'm sure Daryl Morey was looking at as a chance to basically do a one-for-one trade, Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook, with maybe a couple of draft picks thrown in, and instead the Rockets walk away giving up four draft picks. So looking at all that and thinking about where the direction of this franchise is headed, first off, Raphael Stone, who is the new Rockets general manager, has been promoted to the general manager position. Congrats to Raphael Stone. He has been a close member of internal negotiations and trades and things of that like for the Rockets for years. So it makes sense that he would get the nod. However, you know, there are some other names that possibly would have come to light. But, you know, you look at the situation, Monty McNair was given the Kings general manager position. And so, you know, not only do the Rockets lose Daryl Morey, they lose Monty McNair as well. So they're losing pieces of their front office. It's not just, and I think that's the important part to remember, is it's not all just Daryl Morey. Yes, he's at the head of it all, and he is, you know, the tip of the spear in regards to the analytics movement and everything that the Rockets front office does. But there are other names, other voices that are there in these trade talks, in these, you know, scouting, you know, all this good stuff that occurs in an NBA front office. And so, you know, Raphael Stone is an interesting pick. I wish him the best of luck, but he's inheriting a pretty rough situation with no future draft or very, you know, basically no future draft picks, two aging superstars, and a roster that is in need of a dire makeover if the Rockets want any chance of contending during the, you know, the twilight of James Harden's prime. So, looking at everything that has transpired, it's tough to not see the Rockets moving in a New York Knicks or, you know, Sacramento Kings style look, where it's just the team is devoid of assets. They've got an aging superstar, a pair of aging superstars, I should say, and they're about to bring in a coach who is going to completely probably change the philosophy of the team. This could be the end of the analytics movement in Houston. That's distinctly possible, especially if a guy like Jeff Van Gundy is brought in as the head coach. But there was a rumor floating around, and I don't know how valid the rumor is, but apparently, and this was reported by Scoop B, who I've come to, you know, I take what he says with a very, very gigantic grain of salt, but he said that apparently the Rockets are making everybody available except for James Harden in a potential Joel Embiid trade. So it does seem, at least per Scoop B, that the Rockets are looking to try and pair James Harden with Joel Embiid. And it does make a little bit of sense in the sense that the Sixers don't want Embiid and Ben Simmons. And if you're going to pick one of them, you pick Ben Simmons. He's the better player between the two currently. And he's also the one that's less injury prone. But if the Rockets were to make that move, I mean, obviously the Sixers don't want Russell Westbrook back, but that's a possibility. So, I mean, maybe there's a gigantic shakeup coming where whoever is going to be the new head coach, whether it's Ty Lue, JVG, or some unnamed third-party candidate who's not either of those two guys, which at this point seems slim to none that would happen. I'm putting my smart money on probably Jeff Van Gundy, but it's either JVG or Ty Lue moving forward. It sounds like they don't want a team that doesn't have a center. So the Rockets are definitely probably moving away from small ball, even if it's not a splashy Joel Embiid trade. I'd imagine that they're going to reconstruct the roster to go back to some semblance of a normal style of basketball play. Hopefully not too traditional. Hopefully not dialing it all the way back to the late 90s, looking at you, JVG. But seriously, that's the and just looking at the outset of this franchise moving down the line, is the Rockets organization is headed for some dark days when James Harden retires or when he leaves the organization. And originally, and this thought has been echoed all throughout Rockets Twitter, right, is the idea that right now, as long as the Rockets have James Harden and Daryl Morey, it kind of doesn't matter who else is around them because those two guys have shown for 8 years now to provide a level of excellence, whether, you know, Daryl Morey from the roster construction element and putting the right players around Harden, and James Harden from just being one of the top players in the league year in and year out, an MVP candidate year in and year out. They've shown that they can make it to the playoffs every single year, that they will be a competitive team every year. Now, whether that competitive team translates to legitimate title contenders, it's kind of tough to say. And you have to kind of evaluate that on a, you know, year by year basis. But legitimately, Harden and Morey together have put out a product that is enjoyable to watch, that is competitive, and that has had at least a puncher's chance every season in all 8 seasons of Harden's time being here in Houston, with the one exception being the super-duper dysfunctional 2015-2016 year, but we don't talk about that year. Apart from that season, the Rockets have had a puncher's chance at a title every single year because James Harden's just that good and because Daryl Morey has done a great job putting the right role players around James Harden. But now, no Daryl Morey. So where do you go from here? There's not a lot of confidence in the organization, again, because of the optics of ownership to this point, to this date, that they're going to be willing to spend into the luxury tax, to go out of their way to sign big-name free agents, to make the necessary moves to put a contender on the court. And so the faith that I had in the front office has now vanished. And again, that's not fair completely to Raphael Stone. I do hope he does a great job, but I'm going into this not cautiously optimistic. There's not a lot that instills a lot of confidence about the situation of the Rockets front office staff right now. And James Harden's in the twilight of his prime. So the Rockets are potentially headed for some very, very dark days ahead should James Harden request a trade, should he decide to leave after these next 2 years of his contract. I hope he retires a Rocket. I really do. He's the second greatest Rocket in franchise history. And the only reason this organization has James Harden and has been able to appreciate him for the last 8 years of his career and watching him grow and turn into the year-in, year-out perennial MVP candidate that he has become is because of Daryl Morey and because Morey finessed the hell out of the Thunder to get him in a Houston Rockets jersey 8 years ago. So I tip my cap to Daryl Morey. Shout out to Morey. Thank you, Daryl Morey, for everything that he's done for this Rockets organization. And I wish him the best of luck moving forward in his personal life, in his career, whatever he's got going on. I don't hold any ill will towards Daryl Morey for this decision. And it'll be interesting to see where the Rockets move forward from here. So for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.